Today we will explore the lore of the Emperor's Golden Throne, which is coincidental as I was recently offered the opportunity to upgrade my old humble office chair to a new throne, courtesy of Noble Chairs, the results of which, as you can see, are glorious. Comically, I even had friends visit recently to play 40k who decided to pick up their own. This chair is part of their hero range, featuring excellent lumbar support, solid and durable construction, easy to clean PU leather, suitable for even the most persistent of spewed Nurgle-based filth. But the most attention-grabbing aspect is of course the detailing, with the Imperial Aquila and beautifully rear-stitched map of mankind's Sol system. I've been using this chair for well over a month. It's firm, comfortable, supported me through very long editing sessions, and I was curious if the armrests specifically would meet my expectations, because often this is an afterthought for office chairs, which I've often ended up ruling out based just on that. But they even exceeded my needs, with both the size of the rests and customization options, as you can see. If you would like your own Imperial Throne, check out the link below for Noble Chairs, and for quite literally supporting me here on the channel. Within the contemporary period of M41, the God Emperor sits upon the Golden Throne, the ancient device to which his broken body, in the aftermath of the ultimate battle with Horus, was interred upon some 10,000 years previous. But the throne itself not only sustains what remains of the being who once walked among humanity as its savior, it continues to serve a crucial and central role within the galaxy-spanning empire known as the Imperium of Mankind. The Golden Throne is far more than a life support system and a symbolic seat of power for the Emperor. It stands as one of the most powerful psychic devices in the galaxy, located at the center of humanity's power upon Terra, Earth, in the depths of what is and was the Imperial Palace. In this time, the primary purpose of the Golden Throne is said to sustain the Emperor of Mankind, the central authority figure at the heart of the Imperium's religion and governance. While he has little, if any, direct input due to his disconnected state that some may describe as comatose or otherwise incapacitated, his very existence continues to create stability throughout the Imperium, for without his presence, if he were to finally die and not immediately be reborn somehow, the Imperium would likely tear itself apart through power struggles and the rationalized grandiose crusades of would-be dictators and those who see themselves as serving the cause of the Emperor of Man, not to mention Terra itself being just consumed by the horrors of the warp. When the Emperor was mortally wounded during the final days of the Horus Heresy, his shattered, near-lifeless body was placed on the Golden Throne. It had taken everything from the Emperor, and all that remained was his now ravaged physical form, or whatever he chose to display to humanity in the material space. To defeat his son Horus, and more broadly the dark entities of the warp, he had been forced to relinquish the powers he could draw from the warp, and instead chose to face Horus in a battle he knew he could not emerge from without at least severe consequences. The conflict was always to have occurred. This was the final battle, the unavoidable consequence of the heresy, and it was necessary to defeat Horus to prevent human civilization from falling into eternal darkness, and ultimately the destruction of the galaxy, even the universe. Yet had the Emperor relied on drawing the power from the warp itself, something he had vowed never to do, this also would have led to the end of all things, just as the Cabal had predicted. Ultimately, thanks to an intervention, a path that had not been foreseen, or at least not expected, was chosen. But this still had an extremely devastating consequence, the near death of the Emperor. The Emperor himself instructed that he was to be interred upon the Golden Throne to enable what remained of his soul and consciousness to survive in a state of not death and not life. For the throne requires so much power and strength of those who sit upon it, it cannot heal him, but it will also not allow his complete demise, for it amplifies his psychic power. So as the Emperor sits upon the throne, as he has for the past 10,000 years, his life force is being continually drained and amplified away as he is fueled by this continual procession of mortal psychers whose life force is also extracted from their bodies inside the screaming torture chambers that are more like coffins, which surround the immense archaeotech structure that is the Golden Throne by the thousands. In the aftermath of the heresy, the throne is said to have been even further enhanced to sustain the Emperor's physical form, and through advanced stasis fields and psi fusion reactors contain his presence there. In the many thousands of years since that time, not unlike so much technology, these things are now beyond the understanding of the Mechanicus and the Imperium in M41, something which has obviously become a significant problem. The throne is not merely a mechanical apparatus, but also a psychic amplifier. It channels the immense psychic power of the Emperor or any who sit upon it, and through the Emperor's psychic abilities, he maintains the security of Holy Terra and also maintains the guidance of the Astronomicon, a psychic beacon that enables fast and light travel for Imperial ships through the warp. It also enables him to hold closed the gateway into the Webway and the shattered remains of his project he hoped to save humanity with. But still, were he to fall and his powers diminish for even a moment, Terra itself could be consumed by darkness, and in time the Imperium would fall. However, of course, these details are the accepted Imperial line of things. The truth is always far more uncertain and ambiguous. One thing we know is that the Emperor chose to be placed upon the throne, but his reasons specifically for doing so are more unclear. It is unlikely that he sits there for the singular reasons that are told to humanity, to keep him alive, maintain his life force, protect humanity. For the Emperor is a perpetual, that is to say, he is functionally immortal. As far as we know, he could have died and returned, as his Primarch Vulcan had done throughout the heresy. But on the day of his mortal wounding by Horus, he did not. Instead, he chose to return to and be interred upon the Golden Throne. Why? It's a good question. Some may say it was out of pure necessity, but there is much we do not know about the Golden Throne, and likely much we will never know. There may still be further revelations about the Emperor and his final moments before he was installed upon the Golden Throne, where he would remain for the coming 10,000 years. But the throne exists largely unseen by humanity. Truly none in M41 really understand how it appears now, its construction. It is likely significantly different from the embellished visions we see of it as this golden shining beacon in the throne room. By now, it is likely a horrific abomination that has been growing over 10,000 years, likely a darkened place full of immense cable structures, infrastructure to prop it up, and all manner of adaptations that have been made to keep it functional. But for however it physically looks now, in M41 it remains a symbol of the Imperium's reliance on the Emperor's psychic might and its desperate struggle for survival in the darkest of futures. The ongoing function of the Golden Throne is vital to the stability and survival of the Imperium, because its failure would have catastrophic consequences, as we discussed. Its extremely advanced and intricate machinery is maintained now only by the Adeptus Mechanicus, who began in the latter days of M41 to discover significant failures in the mechanisms of the Golden Throne, which after 10,000 years is not entirely unsurprising, but that also, unfortunately, are far beyond their ability to repair. Robute Gilliman, when he returned to Terra to lead the Imperium, was granted an audience with the Emperor, but emerged apparently ashen-faced and disturbed by what he had seen within. And that's led to a lot of speculation that the Emperor is very far from what he once was, which seems fairly obvious after so long being placed upon a machine that has generally horrifyingly consumed any who sit upon such things other than the Emperor. The only mortal human seemingly with the strength to withstand it was Malkador, but even he could barely hold on to it for a short period of time. But we continue to learn ever more about the Emperor and the throne. For the longest time, it was believed that the Emperor had been slowly kept alive and was decaying over 10,000 years, steadily withering away, being consumed by the immense powers that were required of him, the literal corpse god. But if he appears that way, this is seemingly only his mortal form, if indeed that is how he appears now. But as noted by one of the core 40k authors, Dan Abnett, the Emperor is continually dying and also resurrecting as a perpetual upon the throne itself due to his nature. He continues to constantly suffer and can only stave off complete death by being fed the endless cycle of human psychers and their soul energy. So he does not sit upon the throne as some ancient stoic figure, the all-powerful Emperor, the master of mankind. By M41, he is anything but that title. The suggestion is that the Emperor is now trapped upon the throne. He is unable to escape, and he no longer resembles anything of what he once was. Now, he is little more really than soul energy. The Emperor is so weakened that the throne drains him to a point of death over and over again. The human psychers that the Sisters of Silence continue to feed to the Emperor in the thousands likely only provide a small amount of sustenance, just enough for him to power the throne and guide the Astronomicon, although this is fed its own supply also of specially designed psyker fuel. For all the discussions around it, it may well be that it is now functionally impossible for the Emperor to leave the throne, or it may also be that he understands he can never return in mortal form to humanity, that his place is here upon the throne, forever. We've often speculated about the Emperor's intentions during the Crusade and the reunification of humanity, but we also have learned how he often appeared uncertain about the details and the future course he was setting humanity upon. The Emperor had always resisted and actively crushed any among humanity who returned to the deification of any figures, including himself, the Age of Mythology, something that he was forced to face head-on in the close of the Heresy, and his fate appeared to have taken a dark path, but one which could be still avoided. He had stepped out of the path of fate that would see him to become a god emperor. So it is perhaps with a horrifying irony that his fate was nonetheless inescapable, and that as he now sits upon the throne, he has steadily become, through the worship of humanity, and whether he sought such a title or not, the god emperor. He's continually fed these endless sacrifices of human psychers to satiate his hunger for the raw power that is a necessity for his, and indirectly the survival of, humanity. Despite the end of the Heresy, Chaos would rise to become such a long-standing and existential threat to humanity that the Emperor has still followed down a path he had hoped to avoid, all of which leaves the throne as an ancient structure of technology that can never be allowed to fail, for all of humanity and indeed the galaxy would fall into darkness were this to occur. Finally, I will briefly mention, as I have really raked over this before, there is always the very disturbing aspect to the Golden Throne that in the earliest times, when psychers were being loaded into the Golden Throne to help sustain the Emperor as they had been helped to sustain Malkador, the Sisters of Silence realized they may have crossed something of an ethical line. Now you might scoff and laugh at the concept of the Imperium being aware of ethics or morality at all, which is plenty reasonable. But remember, this is in the early days of the Imperium. A lot of the concepts and the ideological outlook they have are quite new. This is not yet the horrifying darkness of M41, where people are just immediately put to the fire for the slightest discrepancy. However, it does underscore the realization by some in this time that the Emperor had led them onto a path they could no longer step off from, and that was leading them to some very disturbing activities, many of which they had fundamentally been pledged to avoid at all costs. Things like rounding up men, women, and children who are innocent of anything other than their psychic capability, forcing them to endure an extremely harrowing journey to terror, and then loading them into glass coffins that will agonizingly drain them of all their soul energy. You know, things like that. It's certainly one of the darkest aspects of the throne and the Emperor, and it has a lot to say about the revelations of the Dark King and what the Emperor was attempting to avoid becoming. I've also often wondered what would a Sororitas in M41 think if she saw innocence being sucked dry in screaming agony by the Emperor. Presumably she'd say that this was a necessary sacrifice to the God Emperor, and they were very lucky for the experience, and to be just close to him. Or maybe not. Maybe it would in fact completely shatter any illusions they have about just what the Emperor is. It is important in the context of the throne, but also the wider 40k verse, to have some understanding about the Dark Age of Technology or the Golden Age of Humanity, and just how comparatively advanced it was to humanity in the Age of the Imperium. I've made many analogies to this before, but while the Emperor is undoubtedly a genius relative to other humans, and for good reason given that he's a perpetual and lived throughout all human history, or so we're led to believe, yet seemingly even for the Emperor, he did not fully understand all aspects of the throne's functionality. For the Emperor did not construct the Golden Throne, he pieced it together from ancient Dark Age of Technology, machines and concepts from his vaults below the palace, and he did of course use his own genius and technical ability to construct it along with an army of scientists and tech savants. But whatever the Emperor created, It's likely far from what the original device itself was, whatever it may have been called, or appears to have been. This was not something of human origin, but in fact most likely Xenos. And this is one of the key details when it comes to the Dark Age of technology. Humans of this time were far more open to working with alien species. It was only in the Age of Strife that humanity became so viciously xenophobic because they saw the predation of their planets over and over again and generally got pretty annoyed about that. But the level of technology humanity had during the Golden Age is really that classic analogy of it being so advanced that it would be akin to magic for, say, somebody from the Mechanicus looking at it. We're talking about processes and constructs that are so far advanced they cannot even begin to understand the processes that are occurring within whatever machine they're looking at. Not to mention, of course, widespread use of AI, which was embraced in that time. The Golden Throne is not just a relic from the Dark Age of technology, rebuilt and repurposed by the Emperor. It is a far more strange device, likely never intended as a singular throne for a civilization. Its specific purposes have never been entirely clear, but they are undoubtedly psychic in origin, which points us in several directions. I want to be clear though that the specifics of the throne's original design and construction are extraordinarily vague and ambiguous. Some point to it being potentially of Eldar origin, which does make a lot of sense. There's talk also of runes, not to mention the fact that the Jakari have something akin to a throne themselves, although that is due to their cooperation with the Mechanicus, which warrants discussion separately. But the Emperor himself has even demonstrated that he was not the creator of such concepts. When he said to one of his custodians how, "There are those in the cult Mechanicum among the unifiers that surmise I found the core of the Golden Throne here beneath the sands of Terra, a relic, they venture, of the Dark Age." Now the full quote is much longer, but suffice to say the Emperor is referencing that throne technology was being explored by humans during the Dark Age of technology, and all he's saying is that he found a piece of it here on Terra, enough to perhaps allow him to understand, oh, I have found this thing and this is likely what it could be used for. But that elsewhere out in the galaxy, other humans were also experimenting and learning about whatever this throne technology was, but that unfortunately it was too powerful and destroyed them. And this has been demonstrated also elsewhere, that throne technology can only be controlled and mastered by immensely powerful psykers. Which again, certainly leads toward the Eldar, for very obvious reasons. Although to be clear, this is not specifically stated anywhere, the assumption comes from the fact that in primarily the Vaults of Terra series, there are scattered descriptions, very minimal descriptions about psychoplastic materials, runes and so on, being part of the deeper construction of the Golden Throne. And these are of course rarely seen by the Mechanicus or workers within the throne room to keep it functional. So this is a very closely guarded secret, and again for very obvious reasons. But it's more plausible that the Emperor and certainly humanity during the Dark Age of technology would have been open to trading or working with humanity. But it's very plausible that the Emperor and certainly humans during the Dark Age of technology would have been open to trading or working with Xenos and the Eldar, although the caveat being only specifically if it benefited them, of course, or they felt that it was safe to do so, because the Eldar rarely help or just trade with humans just because they want to. It's probably more likely that the ancient humans of the Dark Age of technology discovered an ancient Eldar project that had been abandoned or lost, and they attempted to learn about this and reconstruct it, thereby, unfortunately, destroying themselves. And the Emperor simply found this later, took the knowledge for himself, which then feeds into the idea that the Emperor himself did not fully know every detail of its functionality. Which leads us to the Dark Glass. As usual, the building blocks and devices that are enmeshed within 40k lore are often very scattered and very rarely mentioned. They are, though, nonetheless extremely important. When a verse as complex as 40k is constructed, this cannot happen without there being an understanding of the machines, devices and laws that contain such a world. This is why I very often continue to bother thinking about such things in the first place, because even the smallest references are not dismissible. This leads also towards the no retcons thing that I believe as well, because even though something may be reframed, the background material that enabled its construction in the first place likely still stands. Anyway, seem to be drifting a little off topic as usual. But the origins of the Golden Throne, the seat of power at the heart of the Imperium, are most certainly of Xenos origin. But which race specifically? This is less clear. But the fact that the Jakari have had a hand in helping maintain the Golden Throne should at least point in the right direction. As I noted though, the fact that the throne contains Xenos elements, the Emperor himself has alluded to this and said as much, it's not merely just speculations extrapolated from the Emperor's typically annoyingly vague cryptic quotes. I often feel like it would be a nightmare serving the Emperor as a custodes. Sire, would you care for some refreshment?
Ah, refreshment. Have you ever considered, Artemis, how the human spirit is a divine trust and must traverse all the conditions and paths laid before it so that its passage and movement across existence will be the means to acquire its refreshed perfection?
Was that a yes, sire? The man so rarely speaks, and when he does, it's always some metaphysical, poetic aria laced with historical memories that only he could understand. Anyway, although I turned the start of this chapter into a mini adjacent rant, it does have some relevance, because I know the Emperor is this enigmatic, mysterious figure, but sometimes when I'm cross-referencing details, trying to extrapolate things about the Emperor, and suddenly I remember just how painful it is that the Emperor never speaks like a regular human. Nothing's ever a direct explanation. It's always these drifting, vague analogies and wandering thoughts all mixed together into something that kind of makes sense. This always comes across to me as the Emperor is bordering on losing his mind, which is very believable when you've lived throughout human history and you're this singular figure trying to hold it all together, not to mention his psychic power, which you can imagine sort of all of the things that are coming into his mind constantly. I was thankful that in the end of the death, some of the most critical moments were a little bit more to the point. So the Emperor himself has often noted about the throne, why he's building it, things he's seen, and so on. But it's always in this floaty, rambling, poetic explanations that could really mean anything you want to interpret it as. And that's always a problem, because the more solid evidence to the fact that the throne is of Xenos origin are the quotes from the Mechanicus, who describe its, deeper material construction, revealing runes on what they sort of describe as psychoplastic, and the only race we know of using this are the Eldar. So while it's not specifically stated as such, I would very happily take a gamble on the existing evidences that the Eldar constructed part of it. When I say constructed though, not constructed for the Emperor. We're thinking about whatever it was originally constructed for. However, there are also quotes, and admittedly not necessarily a trustworthy source, but from the Dark Eldar, who describe how the Emperor did not create the throne, but adapted it from 1,000 different stolen artifacts of older races. They also explain that humans do not understand the function of the throne, and that if we did, it would tear the Imperium apart. And you could make any interpretation of what that could mean. So where does that leave us? Well, there is one thing that is still to be revealed in much deeper sense, and that is the concept of thrones in general. You see, in 40k, throne is often a word to describe basically a means of interface. And I believe even Malkador at one point speaks about how he's given up trying to find a better word than throne for whatever thrones are. So it alludes to the fact that really throne, it's not just about it's a thing that you sit on as a seat of power, it's just the word they use. An adjacent reference would be the throne mechanicum, for example. Knight and Titan pilots enmesh their minds with the war machine systems through this neural interface that is referred to as the throne mechanicum. And this interface is extremely overwhelming for pilots and required them to have undergone extensive training and augmentation to mesh with the machine spirit. The neural interface not only facilitates movement and control, but also provides the pilot with direct sensory input for their Knight or Titan. And this includes visual information from the sensors and AuSpecs, auditory feedback, even a sense of touch. So the pilot essentially becomes one with the Knight or the Titan. They experience the battlefield from the perspective of the war machine. Essentially, it's projecting their body, their spirit, their soul into the machine. It's projecting themselves out to become more than they are. Now, critically also, a throne mechanicum can be dangerous for anybody untrained or not powerful enough to sit upon it, because it can literally drain them away as they become lost in the powerful machine spirit and leave their body as a dead, drained out husk, not unlike the Golden Throne. Now, Knight and Titan thrones are not necessarily entirely psychic in nature, but I think, as with many such things, we've always felt there is some level of this, just as ordinary humans in 40k are not classified as psychers, they're not on the big psychic scale, but they're deemed psychically active, because all humans have some minimal psychic presence in the far future. It's why they find nulls or pariahs very painful to be around, because if humans were totally psychically inert, they wouldn't feel this,
Plus, this is why Chaos are always so enraptured and obsessed with humanity, because humanity, whilst we have a minimal psychic presence, we are just so numerous that cumulatively that's very powerful for Chaos, whereas the Eldar, there are very few Eldar, and the Eldar are very, very good at controlling their emotions, controlling their mind, not being tempted into the ways of Chaos, whereas humans, it's the easiest thing in the world. So there's this concept of the thrones in 40k as being this interface, and also that it can be potentially dangerous to individuals that are not powerful enough to resist the draining nature of them, which again leads us very much into the realms of the speculative. So now I have finally got to the chapter title, because one of the most revealing events explored to us is in The Path of Heaven, the Heresy book, where we discover that the Golden Throne is in fact not a singular device at all, or that at least other precursor iterations of it may well exist. In Master of Mankind, also, we learn that potentially those from the Dark Age of Technology or another race had attempted to create their own throne, as I mentioned earlier, or adapt something similar that they had discovered but failed and it destroyed them. In The Path of Heaven, though, is when we learn about what is referred to as the Dark Glass. Now, this was said to be an ancient device, again, dating back to that Dark Age of Technology, although when we say dating, I really struggle to understand how they're dating these things, but anyway. They were also referred to as soul engines. The Dark Glass existed as a station over the Catalus warp rift, surrounded by a massive planet-sized hollow shell of mirror-like material. And for anybody who wants to jump in, no, not a Dyson sphere, but yes, perhaps comparable in its primary structure. Despite the existence of such a device, its true origins are unknown, but it's believed, speculated, to have been used to test the technology that would later result in the Golden Throne. It's also estimated that this was discovered by the Emperor, who sought to reactivate the device in order to advance his own Webway Access project, certainly prior to the Throne on Terra, because like the Golden Throne, the Dark Glass was capable of accessing the Webway and was constructed with a central throne that required a psyker of extraordinary power to operate, but it was still said to be far less powerful than the Golden Throne. However, the very existence of the Dark Glass also highlights several points of interest, that in our understanding of the Emperor, he evidently did not have a formulated plan for the entirety of the Crusade and future for humanity. He potentially, as I have explored before, had options, but clearly these could be shifted and adapted as necessary. This may go some way to explaining why the Emperor abruptly returned to Terra, and that his abandonment of the Primarchs at the height of the Crusade may not have been entirely planned, that the discovery of Dark Glass enabled the Emperor to perhaps see an alternative route to a future he had envisioned or wished to accomplish. It's entirely possible that the Emperor had begun construction of the Golden Throne and the Webray project, but that he was missing some elements, or there were some aspects of it he did not understand. But that maybe he was aware that there were other possible thrones out in the galaxy, and that indeed this may well have been the entire purpose or one purpose of the Crusade, and that he was waiting for the Crusade to discover one of these thrones. As soon as he's able to discover that, he's able to learn or take what he needs and return to Terra. At the Dark Glass itself, a research team was left to work upon this, led by a navigator, Helion, who worked to unlock its mysteries, despite the threat Dark Glass and the Golden Throne presented to the Navis Nobilitae, whose control of warp travel would have been rendered obsolete by its completion. Because, again, if the Emperor's Webway project could function, navigators are no longer really necessary. And so for this, quite obviously, the Dark Glass was kept a secret from the Greater Imperium, not least because the ever-present threat of Navigator Houses being pretty unhappy about this would have been extraordinarily destructive at that time. The proximity of the Dark Glass station's warp rift, though, eventually drove the research team insane, and as Dark Glass erupted into bloodshed, Helion was killed by the throne when he attempted to open a portal into the Webway, because again, he was simply not powerful enough to sit upon it. Later during the Heresy, the White Scars were able to eventually discover the now abandoned Dark Glass's location, pursued by traitor fleets, one led by Mortarion himself. During the ensuing battle, an agent of the Navis Nobilitae set about its destruction with vortex charges, and as the station collapsed into the void, a White Scars Stormseer sacrificed himself on the Dark Glass throne to enable the opening of a portal for the Scars to Terra, and thereby allowing them to escape and to aid the defense of Terra. The Dark Glass, though, was consumed by the void of the warp. Now, it should be noted, although there have sometimes been references to these other thrones, It's never been established if these are connected to a single race or if this is simply an occurrence of technology within the 40k verse, where different civilizations are stumbling upon the same concepts because it makes sense for them to do so. But there also exists another Throne of Glass, but this was titled the Shariax, and was discovered by the first chapter master of the Astartes, known as the Death Spectres, shortly after the 13th founding in M35, early M36. He was brought to the world supposedly by a vision from the Emperor himself, and discovered the Shariax in a secret cavern beneath the planet's surface. That in itself has quite significant ramifications in terms of understanding the Emperor. Because of course, if he did indeed have a vision from the Emperor about this, it makes you wonder why. Now this was a fairly throwaway story in many respects, but as I always say, I actually think it has greater resonance. Once we understand that among the Death Spectre's Marines, what they refer to as the First Spectre sits upon what they call the Shariax from his ascension until death, and is gradually drained of life by the artifact in order to maintain the chapter's watch over the Ghoul stars. Maintaining watch meaning an empowered ability to see what is occurring in that region. It's basically a smaller golden throne, or a dark glass, with limited power, and it must be limited because no ordinary Astartes could just sit upon the dark glass or the golden throne without being scoured from existence and turned to ash. What's the point? Well, it certainly appears that there are thrones of varying size and strength. Maybe some are experimental, some maybe are prototypes. This could be the Emperor's experimentations, doing so far away from everybody else in case something bad happens. It may well have been something also from the Dark Age of Technology, or it could have been Eldar tech that has been adapted and repurposed by humanity, again potentially in the Dark Age or later under a secret program by the Emperor. It's worth remembering also just how insanely powerful the Eldar are. I know they're often seen as just the psykers with weak armour, but much of their technology is completely incomparable by human standards. They have weapons that basically shoot black holes. And another notable thing about the Eldar was that they seemingly had constructed technology that at one time in their later development would have enabled them to just will entire armies into existence through the power of their mind and psychic technology, which is a terrifying thought. Because the Eldar for the longest time were not scared of warp power. That only became a problem at the end of the Age of Strife with the birth of Slaanesh and the decimation of the Eldar during the Fall. So the timelines actually work quite well from a very rough but speculative point of view. Dark Age of Tech humanity experimenting with the Eldar before the Fall upon these throne devices. The Emperor himself sort of alluding that he may or may not have had some involvement. We know the Emperor likely existed, of course, in this time, but just what he was then, or just when he appeared, is entirely open to speculation. But it could make sense that he was at least aware of these throne devices. A really wild speculation would be, perhaps the Emperor was the person working on these things in the first place during the Dark Age, lost contact with them, lost contact with the Eldar during the Age of Strife, and then had to resort to picking up the pieces much later on. The only real problem, of course, is in speculating as to its overall purpose, because it may well have been that the original purpose can never be known. The Emperor's intentions, using the idea of Magnus sitting upon the throne forever also to maintain its power and operate it as was seen in a vision, this is one possibility, but it doesn't really get to the heart or the explanation of everything, because really there is a huge amount of speculation here. I think one of the possibilities that's pretty straightforward would be a kind of gatekeeper. If we imagine that the Emperor's plan was to allow humanity to retire or shelter somehow in the Webway, as is very often referenced, or at least a significant portion of humanity that were perhaps using the Webway to reach their worlds, it may well have been that he didn't intend for humanity to exist forever in the Webway, more that they would just remain there until humanity had developed enough psychic affinity and strength as a civilization to withstand the predations of chaos, or the alternative polar opposite that the Emperor helps humanity to become basically psychically inert, like the Tau. But to my mind, some temporary role upon the throne makes a lot more sense than Magnus sitting on the throne forever. Nonetheless, you would need somebody to be a gatekeeper, and perhaps the throne was designed as a device that is essentially really overpowered by its design. It's over-engineered, it's constructed to empower an individual to keep closed a warp rift, prevent the beings of chaos shattering into and damaging the Webway. This would have been Magnus's role, certainly initially. It's what the experimental proto-thrones of glass seemed to suggest, and that the Golden Throne is some amalgamation of all the things the Emperor brought together to create the ultimate throne. It's not designed for one purpose, but many. Yet now the Emperor is trapped upon the throne, to keep closed the warp rift that remains sealed by the power of the ancient device. But of course, as noted, if he died, or ceased to sit upon it, then the rift would open the throne world to the raw power of the warp, which would consume Terra and lead the galaxy into total darkness. There's even additional evidence that the throne is primarily designed to hold back the horrors of the warp, given that the Drakkari are now, after having helped the Mechanicus, attempting to construct their own throne, keep the forces of the warp at bay, and shield themselves more efficiently in Kamora. The major question, of course, though, always remains. If the Emperor were to reincarnate or die upon the throne or ascend as a new god in the warp, what happens then? Would Terra itself have to be destroyed to achieve this? Could some ultimate battle take place in the throne room to protect Terra until the Emperor himself could return? It's really unknown. A small aside, people who always speak to the Astronomicon, and while there is some link between the throne and the Astronomicon is powered separately by what is said to be the Chosen, and is really at this point believed to be largely independent to the Emperor, although of course the Emperor will somewhat guide the light for the navigators in the warp. Even though it's said that the Astronomicon is the light of the Emperor, really to me that seems more than anything the religious phrasings of the Imperial cult, more than it being quite literal. Of course, I'm not saying that the Emperor still cannot have some presence in the Astronomicon. I'm sure that he does, because as we know also, he can reach out to any all throughout the galaxy. I think there's just a distinct note that the Astronomicon likely could survive without the Emperor upon the throne, at least for a short time. Regardless though, these are all the big questions of 40k. But more importantly, will we ever get answers to them? Well, that really is the right question. The Golden Throne is one of those intrinsic elements of the 40k verse, as much has been said by the core authors of the lore. Personally, I often think people take quotes, though, from interviews way too literally. While undoubtedly there are some things which you can extract and sit within wider understandings, any answers in an interview are often voiced whilst speaking very generally and without specifics. Sometimes the phrase headcanon is even thrown around. So, as an example, a notable example, when Dan Abnett spoke about the fact that without the throne, it would mean the end of the universe, and as he said, the heat death of the galaxy. I've seen those who took this as meaning that the Golden Throne is somehow an object which is connected with, and even determines, the continued existence of the galaxy. Which admittedly, I suppose, in some respects you could see it that way, if you believe that humanity defines the fate of the galaxy. But that's not really what he was talking about, in my opinion. Because really what he's alluding to there is that without the throne, chaos rules. And if chaos rules, the galaxy will in time be completely extinguished, as the Cabal predicted. The zenith of chaos would lead to a period of galactic annihilation as it feasted upon humanity over generations before finally burning out, taking the vast majority of life in the galaxy with it, and then falling into darkness and calm, the death of the galaxy. But the heat death of the galaxy simply refers to the concept that eventually the galaxy or universe will evolve to a state where no thermodynamic free energy exists, meaning it will therefore no longer be able to sustain processes that increase entropy. It's basically a point in time where we would reach the death of everything due to a complete end of entropy. But this is something the Necrontyr, by all accounts, actively look forward to. Most often though, and not unlike the Emperor himself, answers and references end up equally cryptic, and that's of course by design. To be so ambiguous as to be one of the things in the 40k verse that we can only put a pin in and place over on our corkboard designated with just a question mark. I believe, for myself, that the throne is a narrative linchpin for the 40k verse, more so than a literal keystone object in the security and stability of the galaxy, although of course it is undoubtedly also important in this regard. Because the 40k verse for the longest time has been defined by the existence of the Emperor. He remains still one of the primary introduction characters for those new to the verse itself. He sits upon his golden throne. He is the corpse god. He is the protector of humanity, the ultimate savior, the being around whom the entire religion of humanity was created and only grows ever stronger. The more we consider how the throne and emperor have been spoken about by those core authors, the more it seems unlikely, despite the revelations in some of the newer lore about the emperor ascendant, the dark king, and in M41, he is becoming empowered by the psychers and the great rift, that this is still very possible the emperor will never rise again, not reincarnate, nor lead humanity into a new golden age. Because if such a thing were ever to happen, it's certainly a very long way off. Not least because it would mean we would need to reasonably explain and understand what happens to the Golden Throne. Now that's not impossible, but it's probably very difficult. That is, of course, if the Emperor has to leave the throne to make any actionable presence felt. Could he still walk among humans again, or otherwise use the throne if he were so empowered to project himself in the Materium or Immaterium? As I was talking about earlier with knights and the concept that when you are upon a throne, you are able to project yourself as something greater. And there still remains the issue of the origin of the throne and how this connects with the ongoing speculation about time in 40k. How powerful is the emperor at different points in his history, and just what was he doing before the Age of Strife? What role does Malkador play early on? Ideas about the emperor and multiple threads of time. Also, as noted about the Emperor discovering the remains of whatever the throne was on Earth in the ancient deserts of Asia. It's very open as to just what he found there. It's likely it was Dark Age of Technology remains, enough that he was able to enmesh with whatever Xenos tech ultimately became the Golden Throne, but it's also certainly not as simple as the Emperor just found the Golden Throne on Terra in the desert, give it a clean off, good to go. That's definitely not what happened. It seems likely that the glass thrones, which sound reminiscent of Eldar design as well, would have been only usable by, if they were Eldar, their most powerful Farseers, or depending on how old the concept of such a device is, perhaps even their gods. But it is certainly notable and obvious that the Golden Throne and its gateway to the Webway functions exactly like a Webway gate. Or what about the outside possibility that the thrones were in fact one of the most ancient pieces of technology in the galaxy, and that these have been attempted to have been replicated again and again by different races through time, but that originally it was the old ones themselves, perhaps, who used the throne to design and construct new webway tunnels remotely from a single position in the galaxy, because using the power of the warp energy, we know that there were these engines that constructed the tunnels, such as the Tukulka engine, believed to have originated from the old ones. This was a sentient machine or an entity that was part of a triumvirate of similar entities who, when combined, can create a rift that bridges space and time effectively. They can construct new webway infrastructure. Now, on its own, Tukulka was capable of extremely efficient, precise warp jumps, and later Vashtor, classic Vashtor the Archiphane, would succeed in contacting the Tukulka to create the dissonance engine. This was a thing which could bore tunnels into the space between the Materium and the warp, basically the webway. And I think the concept of the old ones having this powerful throne technology that enabled one of them, because remember, the old ones were not necessarily as psychically powerful as the Eldar, so the idea that they might need to amplify their power so that they can construct webway tunnels all throughout the galaxy remotely, effectively, because why would you want to travel all the way across the galaxy to go and tell a machine what to do when you can be in one place and sort of coordinate all this going on so that then you can actually use it for what it's supposed to and travel very quickly? Also remembering, it's possible that if that is indeed the case and the old ones were the first to develop this technology, remember that the warp at that time was very, very calm, and so sitting upon a throne may not have had the extreme soul-draining effect that it does later. Why mention all this? Well, I need to note that it's another use of the term engine in reference to those ancient devices like the Tukulka engine, which I think at least lends some credence to the idea of a soul engine, these engines, even if that's a pretty lazy piece of speculative assumption connecting in some way. The point is though, although the Emperor had foresight, things can never be fully clear, or his decisions or lack thereof do not make sense. Although the Golden Throne is said to amplify and enable those who sit upon it to see all, this does not again explain why the Emperor couldn't have learned all that he needed to a lot earlier. So it does suggest that there remain things which are, if not fully clouded, at best unclear. I remain of the opinion that the Emperor certainly has the ability to see future events, but comparable to Eldar Farseers, predicting things very far into the future is extraordinarily difficult, because the permutations, or as Malkador and the Emperor call them, configurations, are extremely variable at extreme distances. Things only become closer to clarity the nearer you are to them, and seemingly almost right up until the point something occurs, it can still be shifted and changed. Although there remains also the possibility that some things are more flexible in this regard than others. I mean, as a small example, this is why the Eldar have the ability to move faster than humans believe they can see. It's because even basic Eldar are quite psychically capable, and so when Eldar are in combat, sometimes they will actually see a little bit into the future, a few seconds, and that's enough for them to move out the way of whatever's coming toward them. The point is, though, did the Emperor construct the throne, knowing that its core purpose would be to sustain him for 10,000 years? Seemingly not, from the revelations in The End and the Death. So from that, we can begin to understand that he may well have designed the throne with other intentions, or at least for a range of possibilities. Yes, possibly to defend against the warp predations into Terra, yes, to enable the Webray project, and then likely some other options, or any and all of the above, quite honestly. One thing that does seem clear though, Magnus was important, although apparently not important enough that he couldn't be turned away, but still this is why the Emperor wanted to arrest him instead of just declaring him a traitor like the others. Because unlike the other Primarchs, Magnus was given multiple opportunities to return to the Loyalists and aid the Emperor. Why? Because very obviously the Emperor needed him, the Emperor wanted him. It's very clear that Magnus was particularly significant, as during the Siege of Bonterra, he was offered by both Malkador and even more sincerely by the Emperor to return to them. The Emperor even showed Magnus a vision of what a peaceful, amazing life awaited him and humanity, if only he didn't side with the traitors. And Magnus truly is one of the most annoying characters for me in 40k. And that doesn't mean I hate Magnus, you gotta love the guy, but there are of course a million memes about him. But he is also supposed to be one of the most enlightened of individuals. He understands way more than any of the other Primarchs as regards the warp, and yet he keeps dropping the ball at every opportunity. It's very frustrating. It's all the more tragic that his primary reason for turning down the Emperor's offer is his lads in the Thousand Suns that the Emperor requires purged. Yet tragically and comically later, when he discovers that Ahriman has been turning them into robots filled with sand, he's left facing the realization that he didn't even end up with what he wanted to. Again, so much for foresight by the most powerful psykers in the galaxy. More seriously though, it's very clear just how badly the Emperor wanted Magnus to return to him. He even promises Magnus to create a new legion for him that do not contain the genetic flaws of the Thousand Suns. The Emperor, like I said, shows Magnus a future where he sits upon the throne, and unlike those too weak to use it correctly, Magnus can basically sit upon the throne with no effect. He can basically fly through the entire galaxy with almost nothing restricting him. He becomes almost limitless in his capabilities. And again, this is another reason why I feel like there could be some connection there between the Old Ones and how they were looking at the galaxy and what the thrones potentially do. But alas, Magnus chose the more stupid path, and it cost him dearly. But it does lead me toward this idea of the throne being far more than just a gateway, far more than just a stasis machine for the Emperor, not least because it is one of the largest, most powerful pieces of Baroque custom-designed archaeotech in the galaxy. The way it is demonstrated to Magnus, the way Malkador speaks about it, and his experience upon it, suggests it is far more than just a gateway device. It has to empower and enable considerably more than opening just a door to the Webway and keeping it shut again. It's just my speculation, but I really believe the throne is a lot more than just what has been seen so far, and that could have very big implications for things developing in M41. As far as we can discern, there is a pretty reasonable understanding as to how the Golden Throne came to exist and somewhat about its function as a psychic amplifier, at least enough to speculate about it. The Emperor, as far as we know, originally planned to use the Golden Throne as a gateway device, because humans were unable to create their own paths into the Webway, they couldn't construct Webway. The throne then acted as basically a means by which to open and close that gateway into the Webway for humanity and bridge this. but it would later be repurposed as the support device for the Emperor, and largely most people seem satisfied to leave the definitions at that. However, I am not, because a lot of things just do not line up. Granted, humans are not Eldari, but opening a webway portal does not require the insane psychic amplification of the Golden Throne. Of course, much later, when the Emperor is holding back the shattered webway and the warp rift that exists, the throne is very much necessary. But had everything proceeded smoothly, why was such an insanely over-engineered device deemed necessary? Most webway gates are just Eldar Wraithbone and opened by their psychers. You could argue that it was necessary to bridge and connect to the webway, sure, but it still seems to not quite align to its true purpose, especially when we learn that there were others, like the Dark Glass. So what is going on? The throne is also said to have had a broad range of applications. That's actually something which is stated, not just one, and that the Emperor had adapted it and installed all manner of relic arcane technologies. So it's no surprise to us that some of what's contained within is Xenos in nature. One of the core purposes for the throne is, of course, the moderation and the manipulation of warp power. But the throne is far, far more than this. It enables, or even forces, a psyker to open their mind completely to the etheric structures of the universe. It amplifies everything that one is and ascends them to reach a state of all-knowing. This is probably what Coriel Zeth was attempting to do with the Akashic Reader. And like I was speaking about earlier, it's interesting that members of the Mechanicum inadvertently ended up creating what was looking to be some kind of throne construct, which again suggests to me that it's not uncommon for other races to sort of inevitably of their own accord end up developing these kind of devices. Because remember, Coriel Zeth was attempting to create this Akashic Reader that would enable them to access all the knowledge, everything that existed in the galaxy, which is what Malkador describes to us when he's sitting upon the Golden Throne. The throne gifts those who sit upon it the ability not to just see forward in time, but to see beyond time, to understand everything, to see what connects the reality, the truth of all things, the materium, the immaterium. For any ordinary human who sat upon the throne, you would just be instantly immolated, vaporized by the sheer power of the device. But if you're an extremely powerful being like Malkador, Magnus, or the Emperor, the throne can transform you into becoming a form that is surely approaching what mortal humans would consider a god. And again, speaking of Magnus, I really feel that given what Magnus ended up discovering, it really, really seems like it would have been beneficial, even if you insisted on keeping it from everybody else, just taking Magnus to one side and saying, "Right, mate, listen, don't mention it to anybody else, but here's the real deal." I feel like that could have saved everybody a lot of trouble. Regardless, in the time of the Heresy, the forces of darkness that threatened the Webway Gateway were so powerful that apparently it required all the Emperor's focus and strength to hold them back. For Malkador, of course, it was more than he could bear. As he observed himself, he effectively died the instant he sat upon the throne. And that's Malkador, most likely one of the most powerful human psychers next to Magnus and the Emperor. We know the throne does not serve this singular purpose, but the sheer power of the beings in the warp was so great that even after 10,000 years, it continues to still require the Emperor's focus to withstand them. He has minimal ability to shift this focus or powers otherwise, and that's potentially why we don't see anything else occurring in regard to the throne. The Emperor and Malkador, though, especially Malkador, had always attempted to create fail-safes to their plans and their creations. This is why the Emperor allowed Malkador to be so autonomous, create his various schemes and minions who existed to operate on his behalf, to essentially construct plans B, C, D, and E were the others to fail. It seems to me that if you accept the throne at face value, it's not only somewhat boring to assume that the immense Golden Throne existed only as a very powerful door bolt for the warp. It also seems to contradict a lot of the allusions that are made toward it, not to mention all the other thrones, the Dark Glass and so on. So I feel like if that were the case, the Emperor would end up looking quite silly when the Necrons just roll up with a piece of black mineral, set its harmonics correctly, and the Rift of Terror is just resolved. The throne, at the bare minimum, to my mind, must be a gateway device on a galactic scale that either Magnus or the Emperor would have operated, to both keep chaos out of the webway and to also help prevent the horror that occurred, we believe, to the Old Ones or the Eldar alike, when suddenly the warp became aggressive and chaos could break through into the webway in places where it was weakened. For myself, there exists another possibility, a very speculative possibility, because the throne seemed to enable this amplification and manipulation of warp power we know. The Emperor, though, never wanted to draw upon the raw power of the warp. This was a path that he understood as being too dangerous, and was ultimately one he narrowly avoided. But he also wanted to scour the warp from the horrors that existed within. Now obviously, one option I've discussed many times is that his plan was to take all of humanity into the Webway, everybody knows this, thereby starving chaos and reducing it to a calm state. Again, this is where the Golden Throne Gatekeeper aspect comes into play. But I also think the throne could have been some means by which to communicate with and effectively manage the entire Imperium, similarly to like I was thinking about the Old Ones and their construction and their operations all across the galaxy. Because remembering the Old Ones were seeding the galaxy with life, they travelled throughout the galaxy. And one of the biggest problems for the Imperium is trying to manage a galactic Imperium across those timescales, the Administratum, and the time delays that exist. This is one of the major problems for the functionality of the Imperium. So the Emperor, in my interpretation, sort of shows Magnus this, where he's demonstrating that the galaxy is basically at your command, instead of the agony of the Administratum. Magnus would be able to continually, and more importantly in real time, organize the logistics and the power of the Imperium at this galactic scale, which would be an amazing thought if it were any more than my own speculation. But I think there is a strong possibility that that's what the Emperor was trying to show him. And what if that were only part of it? That the Emperor and Magnus were meant to work in unison, one using something like the Dark Glass and the other the Golden Throne? Or even that the thrones, similarly to a Throne Mechanicum, allow you to interface and become more than your form? The thrones enabled whoever is upon them to become godlike, which is what we do understand them to effectively function as, to empower and amplify the Emperor to a level that he basically becomes a god, but without having to drink of the warp, as it were. And from there my thinking goes to, well then, he could then, as this being who remains on the throne, fight the gods in the warp without risking his mortal form and soul. There's a lot more to expand on there, but it always seems to me the throne being just like I say, this bolt across the back door of terror, is really disappointing. Whereas when we consider the Emperor now in M41, yes, trapped on the throne, weakened, barely anything of what he was remains, yet he's ever empowered now by human worship, 10,000 years of worship, faith, psychic energy. I think for myself there also remains this very real possibility of the Emperor not resurrecting, but remaining on the throne and also coalescing in the warp via the power of the throne, and being able to, along with his other forces, lead a battle to the door of chaos itself. The throne could function as both a defensive, a logistical, and offensive device. Now just to be clear, as always, this is entirely my speculation. But when we're talking about the Golden Throne, something that is so vast, so ancient, so advanced, and contains combined elements from multiple races, some very powerful like the Eldar, who have technology that is far beyond our understanding, I just can't accept that it's a very powerful door lock. I think overall these final thoughts would be far better outlined in a little bit more detail, where I can also tie this in with the Emperor's timeline, why he returned to Terra, why the Crusade was so aggressively rushed, and how there could still potentially be a resolution. It's certainly one of my more speculative, explorative theories, but as always it's just what makes sense to me after looking at the bigger picture. So I feel this topic will sit far better in the next Emperor of Mankind series video. Also, with the final installment of The End and the Death about to arrive, it would be silly of me to make any very large discussion about that subject matter until I can know if there are any additional critical revelations of information which could be relevant, which there very much could be. I'm excited though to bring that together, and make no mistake, this is going to be something I've built towards for a long time, because I've always spoken about the Emperor from different angles, perspectives, why did he do this, why did he do that, why was he so brutal, yet also seemingly so benevolent and caring, why was he at times cold and calculating, why did he so brutally punish the word bearers when it was very obvious they would fall down a dark path to anybody who was paying attention. Was he always working toward a selfish, self-serving goal of becoming a god? Or truly was he working for the benefit of humanity? Of course, there's every possibility that my theories about such things are plain wrong, or probably even in only the best case scenario, only partially correct, but it feels about the right time to throw out a grand theory of speculative guesswork, not least because my gigantic corkboard of confusion is so large now, I really may start to lose my mind if I don't try and bring it all together in some sort of here's what I think at the start of 2024. So that's still to come. I look forward to making it. I hope you look forward to watching it. As for today, I welcome your thoughts about the theories of the Golden Throne, the Dark Glass, and all the rest. I recommend reading or listening to the Path of Heaven and the Vaults of Terror series. Rereading Master of Mankind is never a bad idea. The biggest question for me is, how would you see the Emperor leaving the Golden Throne? Or is it now impossible for him, that he's trapped forever in a perpetual, if you will, cycle of life and death? I have my own personal belief that there is a way out, but it is certainly a very difficult situation to overcome. Thanks for watching. If you enjoyed, please do hit the like. Make sure you are subscribed to the channel, as I only post a few times every month. Check out the links below, and as always, I'll see you all in the next one.